Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman-Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, as always, thanks for having me.
The stock market doesn't want to seem to stop climbing, but has it basically reached its peak?
Well, it's sure at a dicey point, a critical point, I might add. I have been forecasting that the market would continue higher into the third quarter. I'm sticking to that at this point. It is possible that, you know, that some of the boxes, so to speak, have been checked that I'm looking for with this top. So it's possible something could develop here where the May high could have been the high, but at this point, I don't think so. I'm still thinking we have another push up. Now, since we talked last, a development is that the transports have broken down, and we have some negative structure there with the transports. So that's one of the boxes that has been checked. But I think what that is setting us up for is, in Dow theory terms, a non-confirmation as we stretch into this four-year cycle top. So at this point, yes, I'm still leaning toward higher high out there, but I think that there is a major, major top just ahead, but we're not there yet, I don't think.
Will the Dow hit 50,000?
No, I don't think so. I would like to see it re-better that May high where it peaked its head over 40,000. I'd like to see that high bettered, but and I don't know that that's going to happen. But I would like to see that high bettered. If it fails to better that high, and then I see the cyclical structure turn, then that's going to be another indication that yes, it's peaked. But I would like to see the 40,000 high bettered one more time. But I don't think 50 is in the cards. No.
What is your long-term economic cycle, and could it go on longer than expected?
Well, I have identified these, going back to 1800, these long-term economic cycles. And what I have found is that every downturn, every economic downturn, what they used to call way back in, you know, in the 1800s and early 1900s, panics and crises, which were, you know, those were serious economic downturns, the last of which was the 1929 top. I have found that there's a number of things that occur in conjunction with these long-term economic cycles. And long story short, we're setting up for a downturn out of one of those long-term cycles now. This will be the third attempted downturn out of that, you know, the current long-term cycle. The last long-term economic cycle peaked with the dot-com bubble. The one before that peaked with the 1966 bull market top. And, you know, that was obviously a negative period economically, but it wasn't anything like 29. And then, of course, the one prior to that was 29. Following the 2002 low, we saw them trying to bridge the gap, as they said, with the manipulative practices, call it what it is, and they've created this sixth long-term economic cycle that we're now in. And it first tried to turn down in 2007, And it was dubbed, as we all know, the, you know, everybody remembers, or maybe they don't. I think that's the danger. Real people really don't remember. But the, you know, the housing crisis that happened then, the subprime stuff, and, you know, in my area, the decline was pretty catastrophic, with real estate. I remember there were foreclosures in my own neighborhood and that kind of thing. But, anyway, that first downturn, was dubbed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And then the second attempted downturn was with the COVID high, in 2020. And now that stimulus has run its course, and we're flirting with this third setup to turn down out of the current long-term economic cycle. So this turn, while on the one hand I say I don't think we're there yet, once we are, and I can identify the top, then I think that it is a much, much higher degree turn than people realize. I'm talking to local businesses, and, you know, like I talked to a lady that's in real estate. She told me that the spring rentals for people coming to the beach was off about 30%. She said the summer is okay, was the way she worded it, but she said it, you know, so it's off some, but it's not what it was last year. And she said that so far the fall rentals, it was a little early to tell, but they seem to be a little bit off. I talked to someone today in another part of the country, is still in Louisiana, and they said that they worked at automotive parts retail outlet type thing, and they said that you know, he was a manager there, and said that they're seeing slow business conditions there, and said people are turning to online sources because they're trying to look for the cheapest part possible or cheapest prices possible, because, you know, everything's got so high, everybody's trying to squeeze the last, you know, nickel out of the profit that they can. I mean, they have to turn to the cheapest source. So I see evidence that the economy is starting to slow as we move into this period. You know, I even talked to locally couple of the car dealerships, salesmen I knew at the car dealerships, just fishing, and they said it's slow as molasses. One dealership is, you know, they said that, like, you know, some of the hot rods, like, you know, the Hellcats and that sort of thing, and the Challengers, this is the last year for the Hemi, and they have cars sitting on the lot that they're deeply discounting and they're not moving. Another friend of mine told me the same thing was going on over in the New Orleans area, where they weren't moving those cars. So there's lots of signs in pockets of signs that things are slowing as we move into this top. You know, at the contrary, I talked to a lady who's a manager at a pet store, and she said they're having record numbers. So I'm not suggesting that everything is slow, but I'd certainly see that, you know, conditions are slowing as we push into this, you know, this final setup.
Well, a new house for your cat or a couple extra balls for your dog aren't the same as a car payment.
Right. And the restaurants, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I think the restaurants are going to be, I think they're going to be brutalized in this next downturn, because, you know, I don't know about your area, but used to, you know, you could go anywhere you wanted and eat. And it's not that you still can't, but it stings now. I mean, you look at it compared to just 4 or 5 years ago, you didn't think about it. You went in a restaurant, you could get lunch, and you didn't think about what it cost because it wasn't crazy. And now, you know, hell, lunch costs more than dinner, and the quality of the food is not the same. It's horrible. And so I have found myself going, I'm not paying that for that. I'm just not going to do it. And then I know other people that are doing the same thing. I mean, they're just saying no. I had a friend, he could afford to eat whatever he wanted as well. And, you know, he said he went to, they were given some gift certificates, and they went to a nice restaurant. And he said he looked at the price of the steak, and he said, hell no, I'm not paying that. And it was free. He just refused to pay the price. I mean, he was eating on a gift certificate that some family had given him for something, and he said no. And so I think that, you know, he and I can't be the only ones that are just saying no to the prices. So I think that is starting to take a toll in the economy. But as long as this market holds up, everybody perceives it as okay. And quietly what we're seeing is a setup. And another little piece of data here is I've talked to some people lately who have said to me, and I've seen even this in some interviews, the guy was, you know, he wasn't a market guy because he really didn't have any knowledge of in that area. But he was talking about, you know, he had bought a house, and he said this market, it's just, you know, he was waiting on it to crash, and he's going to buy a house cheaper. And he said, well, he just went ahead and bought it. And so people said, well, why did you do that? Because everybody knows real estate's going to go down. And you could have bought it cheaper, you know, down the road after this thing deflates a little bit. And he's like, no, it's not. Real estate's going nowhere but up. He's given up on the idea that things can go down here. And I'm hearing that from people in the market, too. People that have been on the sidelines are getting in. I think this is all a sign. And it doesn't mean, it's like I told one guy, it doesn't mean that we're not still in the danger zone in the biggest bubble in history. It's just a sign of how extreme the environment is. And that's what the market does is, you know, it ultimately pulls every last soul in as you move into a top. And I think, again, that's evidence of where we're headed.
We'll have more with Tim Cyclesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cyclesman Wood. Tim, gold broke out to new highs. Where does it go from here?
Well, cyclically speaking, we had a 9-year cycle low back in 22, and obviously the advance has been positive. But just like the market, I think the gold is pushing into a major top, just like equities. And, you know, when everybody knows, and I say that kind of sarcastically, but everybody knows that safe haven is gold. Well, when in these deflationary downturns, what people overlook is that gold goes down like every other asset class. And again, gold has gone up in the anticipation of what's going on and this, you know, the financial crisis or whatever, it's discounting ahead. But once that reckoning occurs, then I think gold is going to go down with everything else. So I don't think that is a safe haven. And in fact, we are at a juncture with gold where we could see that 9-year cycle top here. I'm not saying we have yet. I can't prove it. I can't disprove it. But we're at a juncture where we could see that top. And that's something I'm watching very, very closely to see how it develops. Maybe there's another push up. It depends on some of the cyclical structure over the next couple of months, but we're in the zone where we could see the top in gold. And certainly, if things start to deflate, we will see gold go down with it.
The BRICS countries are talking about a digital currency that's 40% backed by gold. What will that do to the U.S. dollar?
Well, let me answer that this way. Everybody is always negative on the dollar, and I get it. I understand fiat currency. I get that. And I know the dollar is just worthless paper, but it's still the reserve currency of the world. And in these deflationary environments, particularly where we're headed, I know this is contrary thinking. It is what it is, but the dollar is going to be king. And if you look back at the dollar since 2008, there's a four-year cycle in the dollar, you know, long term. Since 2008, these four-year cycle lows have been making higher and higher lows. The dollar's been basing. And I think the dollar sees this deflationary decline that's coming. And in deflation, cash is king. And that's what people don't understand with these long-term economic downturns, these long-term economic cycles, I should say, is that they're deflationary. And when they're deflationary environment, again, cash is king. So I think in the short to intermediate term, I'm looking for the dollar to weaken. There is a four-year cycle low due later this year. The dollar has held up surprisingly well. I would have thought that we would have been into that low at this point, but we're not. I think that low is still ahead, and then once that correction is behind us, I think the dollar is going to move up in that deflationary environment. Well, I suspect that what we may see is once the rate cuts begin, we see the dollar move down with that initial rate cutting, and that pulls us into that low, and then from there the dollar will be based to go up.
What do you see ahead for real estate?
Deflation. Like I said, just like in 2008 and, all these other deflationary economic cycles, real estate goes down. It's a tremendous bubble. And, it seems like no one sees it. Like the guy, I was just casually watching surfing videos and looking at stuff, and the guy, he's justifying his position about buying the house because real estate's never going to go down. It's certainly a bubble, and it's not going to fare well. In fact, I'm already seeing, it's not catastrophic yet. No, I'm not trying to paint that picture, but it is certainly, the real estate market in my area has certainly cooled. So anyway, I think that's another sign. But no, looking at the history, these deflationary downturns, it's going down.
Could the financial collapse can continue to be kicked down the road indefinitely?
Well, it has. So far it has. Let me answer that. I mean, not indefinitely, but it has been kicked down the road. Let's digress for a minute. Again, the dot-com bubble was the peaking of the last long-term economic cycle. We turned down into the 02 low, and if everybody will think back, everybody that's old enough, and most people listening to this probably are, what did the Fed do following the 02 low? They've tried to inflate. That's what they've done. I mean, if you think about it, they have fought deflation, and they've done so with all of their monetary policy. And as they said way back in the day, they wanted to try to bridge the gap. They created the inflation, pushed us into the 07 top, the deflation finally bit. The stimulus run its course, the cycle bit. We turned down again into what was an 09 low, which was dubbed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. What do they do from there? They're fighting the deflation. I mean, the market's declining. We're deflating. All the asset prices are going down. They can't have that. It's like Richard Russell used to say, inflate or die. The system lives on debt and inflation. It was trying to deflate. They step in. They do the QE. They do all the stimulus. They push it up again into the 2020 top. We get the COVID top. The market turns down. It's trying to deflate. What do? Stimulus. They're trying to reinflate. And so they've done a wonderful job at kicking the can down the road. But at some point, that's not going to work. And now here we are. This is, long-term, big-picture stuff. This has been going on for it's been going on forever. But with this particular cycle and this mammoth bubble that we're in, it's been going on for the last 20 years. I mean, none of this is real. None of it. It's all bullshit. But here we are at a juncture where we're going to get the third setup for the downturn. And the question is, can they? I don't know. Can they save it again? I don't think they know. You don't know. I don't know. Who knows? But it's getting increasingly harder to do so. And look at what each saved job has cost us. More and more and more and more inflation. And so I don't know how much more of this the consumer can even stand. And at some point, it's between, the increased mountain of debt and the increased pressure on the consumer, it's just not going to work anymore. I suspect that may be where we're at, and that no, they can't save it again. But we'll see. We'll have to get this set up, and that's what we face. And the question is, the only variable is, can they save it again? I don't know. I don't think they do. My suspicion is probably not.
When the crashes happen, where will the best and safest places be to live?
I don't know the answer to that. On one hand, you would think rural so that you're not around all the people. On the other hand, if you're in a neighborhood, then maybe you're in a position where, people can band together and help each other. I don't have that answer. I don't know. That's a good question. I've thought about that myself. I don't know. But if we get the kind of hard downturn, I mean, listen, people don't understand the magnitude of what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a decline like we saw with the dot-com bubble. I'm not talking about a decline like we saw in 08 and 09. I'm not talking about a COVID decline where there's a few supply chain shortages and that sort of thing. If this thing really comes unraveled, it comes unraveled. And when it comes unraveled, then COVID was nothing as far as the shutdown and supply chain problems. And so where I'm going with this is that it could, I don't mean to be too negative, but you just, like I said, people don't understand the environment that we're really in and what's at risk. And, you know, back in the downturn and out of the economic cycle and the peaking of the market in the 20s and the Great Depression, you know, people could still take care of themselves. Now they can't. So again, that's another risk. Where the best place would be, I don't know. That's something people are going to have to decide for themselves if they even believe and see this sort of thing. But that risk is certainly there.
Tim, how can people sign up for your newsletter?
It is cyclesman.com, and I cover the details of the analysis that lead me to these opinions. The data speaks for itself. It's a rabbit hole you have to dive in and understand the data, and once you see it, you see it. And, it's all statistical-based, history-based, and, you know, quantified analysis. So it is what it is. If anyone's interested, cyclesman.com.
Thank you so much for chatting with us, Tim.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.